حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ونعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا عبد القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آل الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
شيطان مسلم. The means that he uses to misguide people. Since the beginning of time when man came on earth, Shaitan has been using different ways and different means to misguide people. The first assault of Shaitan came in the time of Adam, and the weapon that he used was hasad and envy, jealousy. Then, after that, the second attack that came was in the time of Noah. And the weapon that Shaitan used was aql. And he taught man that Allah did not make you brainless. He made you with a mind of your own and you can think. So before, whenever Allah tells you to do something, you should think about it first, right? Before you listen to Allah, before you obey Allah. And we saw, like in the son of Noah, who used his own aql and thought that the best way for him to be saved was a mountain. And he came to that conclusion by using his own intellect. And you see that he was drowned and he was doomed. Same way, we see that if we want to understand this assault of Shaitan, this is very important that we understand that when Allah's hukum, when Allah's amr, whenever Allah commands us to do something, then we cannot use our intellect to oppose Allah's laws. But the question is, then obviously, did Allah make this aql in vain? Did He give this aql to us for no reason then? Then why do we have this mind? Why do we have the ability to think? So here it's very important to understand. Allah is making it clear to us. He did not give us the aql in vain. He didn't give our intellect in vain. There is a important usage for it. There's an important reason why He gave you intelligence, why He gave you reasoning. There's an important reason for it. And Allah is making it clear to us that before we even get to the stage of laws, before we even get to the stage of rules and obligations, Allah says, I have kept the stage where you use your aql and your intellect and your reasoning. And until that reasoning is not used, until the results of that reasoning is not brought forward, I will never give an obligation to you and reveal my laws to you. You see that? Before He even gives any law, before He says do or don't, before Allah even says do or don't, He's saying no, I want you to use your aql, your reasoning, your intellect. And when the fruits of your reasoning will come about, then I will give my laws to you. That's why He says the stage of laws comes later. Before that stage is the stage of aqaid and beliefs. Before that stage is the stage of aqeed and belief. He says first, before the amal will come, before that stage is the stage of iman. He says obedience will come when your actions are going to take place. But before the actions take place, you have to have iman. You have to have faith. You have to have ideology. You have to have belief. And here, Allah is saying that obedience is never going to get you faith. It is your aql that is going to make you reach iman. You see, where did Allah want us? Where did He want us to use the aql? He wanted us to use the aql to know our aqeed, to understand our aqeed, to accept our aqeed, to have certainty in our aqeed. And this certainty and faith can only be reached by the aql. That's why furu'd-deen comes later. It's usul-ud-deen that comes before that. And if we all understand the rules of Islam, Allah has made it clear that you follow and obey and do taqleed in furu'd-deen, but taqleed is haram in usul-ud-deen. He says, there in usul-ud-deen there is no following, there is no obedience. In usul-ud-deen there is only aql, there is only reasoning, there is only understanding. In other words, Allah says, and this is what Islam is trying to teach us, Allah wanted you to use your aql to know who Allah is, to recognize Allah, to accept Him as God, to accept Him as Khaliq, to accept Him as Malik. When you accepted Allah as Khaliq and Malik, when you have accepted Allah as your Lord and your Creator through your aql and through your own reasoning, then Allah says comes the time of obedience. Obedience comes after you understand who Allah is. You know who Allah is. So understand. Let me explain it another way to send me salawats. My friend, understand this. Where is our aql and reasoning used? Allah says, before we even get to the stage of rules and laws, comes the stage of understanding Allah. Understanding creation, understanding ourselves. That is the stage. When we look at this stage of knowing Allah, Allah says here obedience is not going to give you faith. Iman has nothing to do with obedience, my friends, understand this. Now, if you read the whole Quran, you will see that there is no place where Allah has given a command to mankind to believe in Allah. There's no command that Allah has given in the whole Quran where He says, believe in me. Right? If you don't, hey, that's it. No, there's no command, there's no amr, there's no hukum that says, believe in Allah. In fact, the only place He gives the command of belief is to believers. There's no place where He says Aminu to people. He says Aminu. Aminu means believe. There's no place. The only place where He says Aminu is for believers. He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu aminu. O you who believe, believe. He gives a command for belief to believers, but He doesn't give a command to people. No place. If He had given that command, it would not make sense. It would make no logical sense for Allah to give a command to mankind, believe in me. You see, Allah never gave the command of belief. He said, look at the creation, look at the stars, look at the trees, and understand and use your aql and your reasoning to understand who is the Creator. Use your reasoning and your aql and your intellect there to understand Allah, to know Allah, to accept Allah. When you accept Allah through reasoning that He is God, that He is the Creator, that He is the one who made our aql, then after you accepted Him through your aql, now if Allah you're saying, oh Allah, you know, yeah, you're God, but still, I have doubts about you. You see what it's doing? You see, aql is used to understand and recognize Allah. Once you recognize that He is Khaliqul Aql, then how can you doubt His aql? He is the one who gave you aql. Once you understood the fact that He is the one who gave me a mind and He is the one who gave me reasoning, then how is it that we can doubt His reasoning? If we oppose the law of Allah, when He reveals the law and says this is wajib, this is haram, if we are opposing that, then we are telling Allah that, Allah, listen, I still don't believe in you. Those who oppose the law of Allah, those who oppose the hukum and the order of Allah, are telling Allah that, Allah, we still do not believe that you're aql and that you're khaliq and you're malik and all these things. We still don't believe that. Because if we did believe that, we wouldn't have a doubt that whatever you say makes more sense than what we can think. You see that? We would have no doubt. But when we doubt the law of Allah, see, in the laws there is no aql. In the law there is only obedience. Aql is only in usuluddin. Aql is only in recognizing who Allah is. Once you recognize Allah, that's it. You know, in the example, you know, for example, when my son is there, this and that, you know, and everyone has children, so you all have experience of this. Now you tell your children, listen, bedtime is at 9 o'clock, go to bed at 9. Right? And then you come and you see, open his door in the room and you see it's 9:30, still not in bed. I told you, bedtime is 9 o'clock, and it's only 9:30. Yes. You know, the issue is, what will happen? He says, hey, dad, I know that, but still, you know, I think you're wrong. The reason that he's not listening to you is because he doesn't trust you. He doesn't believe in you. If he believed in you, if he trusted you, then if you said 9, he would be in bed by 8:59. Because I trust my father, I trust what he says, and he's always truthful, that's it. If he had recognized you as truthful, if he had recognized you as trustworthy, then he would accept your word without any question. But because he doesn't recognize you like that, that's why he's disobeying you. And he's pushing the envelope and trying to defy what you say. Defiance of rules is a result of lack of belief in authority. If you do not believe someone to have authority, then you don't obey their laws also. But once you recognize the fact that yes, he is the rightful authority, he is trustworthy, he is honest, he is truthful, and he is right, then you see that obedience will be natural. Because you trust his decisions. So when Allah says do, if we recognize Allah to be God, then we do it. If Allah says don't, if we recognize Allah to be God, we won't do it. But if we do what he does not want us to do, and if we do not do what he wants us to do, it means we still haven't believed in Allah yet. We still lack the belief in Allah. Meaning that we don't believe in Allah. Do not look at the weakness of our actions. Weakness of actions is a result of weakness of faith. Meaning you really don't believe in Allah. That's the reason aql is used to recognize Allah. Allah says use it freely. Freely to recognize Him. And never did He say, I'll impose it on you. If you don't believe, I'll kill you. He never said that. If you don't believe, I'll take away your money. In fact, those who don't believe, He gives them more money. He gives them more bounties. He gives them more favors. Why? Because He wants to make them know how kind their Lord is. You know, He is their God also. You see what happened, right? And usually you see, if a son is obedient and this and that, he's good, you want him to become better. So you make it tough on him. You challenge him to do greater things. But if you see your son is wayward, right, then you give him a loose rope. Right? Make it easy on him so he understands how good you are, so he can start listening to you. This is the same way Allah treats His servants. Those who are good, Allah makes it harder on them so that they can get better. But those who are weak, Allah gives them an easier role, more leniency. Why? Because to make them understand how good of a Lord He is. See, this is how He deals with us. And so, when Allah looks at faith, He does not want faith that is through force. La ikraha fiddin. There is no compulsion in religion. Allah has never held any sword on anyone's head and said, believe in me. Because Allah knows that faith also is useless. That comes through compulsion. What kind of faith is that? Faith can only come through aql and reasoning. That's why He said, I gave you the aql. Aql is there before the stage of obedience comes. I will never impose any obedience on you if your aql hasn't been matured enough to understand me. My friend, understand this. That's why you see, whenever Allah, He gives a hukm. If you read the Quran, those who read it will know this, those who understand it. Whenever Allah gives a command, do something, don't do something, you see, always before it is, Ya ayyuhal ladina, oh you who believe, you have reached, your aql has matured enough to understand me and accept me. Now I'm giving you this command after you have believed. Commands and ahkam and rules come after accepting Allah, not before that. But the aql has to mature. Really, the aql has to mature. The aql matures, then the hukum comes. Let me give an example so it becomes very clear to you. Salawat alaikum.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, Prophet Ibrahim had a dream. And in the dream, he saw that he was slaughtering his son, killing his son. So he came to his son Ismail and said, son, I had a dream. Inni ra'aytu fi manami anni adbuhak. I saw in my dream that I am slaughtering you, killing you, cutting off your neck, your head. Right? Now, just, you know, to explain and describe the scenario, really, you know. Understand the situation, my friends. It's not an easy situation, right? It's not an easy situation, you know. If you go to your son and say, hey son, I had a dream, you know, that I was like killing you. Son would be like, really? Okay, dad, just wait here, I'll be right back. Go and call 911. Hey, mom, dad's gone crazy, get it? Really? Imagine that. You tell your child, you know, I had a dream, I'm killing you. Okay. You know, you'd be running away. You know, I mean, my friend, understand this, and I want you to see how Ibrahim laid out this question. It's very important to understand that. If you want to know what is the guidance behind this, how did he live? The way Ibrahim laid out the question is that he left every excuse for Ismail to say no. See, if he had come to Ismail and said, listen, Allah commanded me that I have to kill you, you know, it would be one thing. But you see, he came and said, hey, you know what, I had a dream that I'm killing you. He based his whole issue on a dream. Now, Ismail could have said, dad, it was only a dream, come on. You know, get over it, you know. you're not serious, are you? You know? Are you really gonna do that? You know, the issue that he left it open. Ibrahim laid out the question in such a way that Ismail would have easily said no, and he wouldn't be blamed for that. You would say, it's only a dream. What Allah sent a revelation, then tell me. When angels came to Ibrahim, he was a prophet. Angels could have come and shown him that, but Allah sent this revelation through a dream. And Ibrahim posed the question as a dream. He said, I had a dream. Now, Ismail could have said, no, no way. You know, I mean, yes, if Allah sent a revelation, then okay, you know, then he's God, I'll go along with it. but you having a dream? No. I mean, he could have said no and no one could have blamed him. But my eyes understand this. Ismail, his reply was, and understand his reply also. He says, Ya Abati if'al ma tu'mar. Oh my father, do as you have been commanded to do. As you have been ordered to do. Ibrahim's question was laid in that way. The reason he said it's a dream and not, Ibrahim also knows it's a command of Allah. But the reason he laid the question in the way, in this way, that this is a dream and based it on a dream, was to test the maturity of Ismail's akal. Was to test how mature Ismail's intellect is. Why? Because once the intellect is mature, if the intellect is mature, then Allah can impose commands on people. Then Allah can impose His hukum on you. But if the intellectual ability, if your intellect is not mature, then how can Allah impose the hukum on you? It would be wrong for Allah. That's why before Allah laid Ismail under a knife, first of all He tested his akal. And Ismail, by recognizing that his father's dream is the command of Allah, proved to Ibrahim and Allah that his akal is mature enough to take imtihan and ibtala. Understand that this is why, my friends, it is Allah, if your mind is not mature, Allah will never impose rules on you. If your mind hasn't accepted Allah, Allah will never impose commands on you. You will never do that. That's why you see children are not obligated to do anything. Crazy people, retarded people, they're not obligated to do anything. You can't tell them, eat hard, hey, pray 5 times a day. You won't know how to do that. There's no imposition of any rule on someone who doesn't have the maturity in his mind to understand the rule. To understand where this is coming from. If you don't know where this is coming from, Allah will not impose it on you. That's why Allah first tests your mind, then He will impose laws on you. He wants you to use your mind. When you understand Allah, then He will say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu aqimus salat. Or you who believe, pray. Or you believe, fast. Or you believe, do hajj. After you believe, after you use your akal to recognize Him. Really, understand. This is very important for Allah, because Allah wants people to obey Him after understanding that He is God. After knowing that He is God, then obey Him. Don't obey blindly without knowing. That's not the way. It is the akal. You see, certain rules in Islam that are very surprising. And I want to give out these examples so you know the wisdom why Allah sent these rules, sent salawats. You know, as I said, Bulugh means adulthood in Islam, in a sense. What it means, Bulugh means that a child has, his mind has become matured enough, he has become old enough to now be given the obligations of Islam and the responsibilities of Islam, right? That's what bulugh is. That's what it is. So for example, a girl becomes baligh at the age of 9. And a boy becomes baligh a little bit later. You know, when he sees the signs of bulugh, you know, and if he doesn't see the signs of bulugh, then at the age of 15 he becomes baligh, right? He becomes baligh. If he didn't see the signs of bulugh, he becomes baligh at the age of 15. But here, just, I want you to see this, you know. Now let's say, you know, today is your 15th birthday, right? Today is your 15th birthday. You're all happy. You know, you're gonna get gifts, you know. probably that game system you've always been looking for and all these things. All good stuff, right? You're waiting for that. You know, Allah is also giving you a gift also. You say, okay, 15th birthday, huh? Okay, now everything is watching on you. This is Allah's gift. What's this? I thought your gifts make your life easier. It's gonna make my life harder. You know, it's his 15th birthday. And now you see the whole of Islam, all the obligations of Islam are now wajib on this person. Can you believe that? Yesterday, nothing was wajib. Today, everything is wajib. Yesterday, he had still nothing. He could sleep the whole day, eat the whole day, you know, and no one can say, you know, it's wajib for you to pray. Nothing, no. Now his 15th birthday comes, 12 o'clock, midnight strikes. Now he has to get up in the morning to pray. Understand this now. What change happened in one night? I mean, did he grow up in one night? You know, was there a mortification where he changed all of a sudden, you know, had a beard and mustache, you know? Hair grew on his chest or something? Nothing. It's the same day. Yesterday was same. Today is same. Even the weather didn't change. It's 80 degrees. Yesterday is 80 degrees. Right? Nothing changed. So what happened? Yesterday nothing was watching. Today everything is watching. Allah, what happened in one day that you make this wajib? You see, it's a little bit surprising to see that. And I'll explain the wisdom behind it. Let me give you another example so you understand the wisdom when I give you these examples. You see, a person, you know, fasts the month of Ramadan. Most of us, you know, we are told as believers, mu'mineen, to fast in Rajab and Shaaban. In fact, we should be fasting throughout the year. But we are told to fast in Rajab and Shaaban, so when the month of Ramadan comes, you know, you're ready. You know, you take to reap the benefits of fasting. You know, so that, you know, you don't have to get used to fasting in Ramadan. But most of us don't listen to that. We start fasting, you know, on the day of Ramadan. You know, that's it. We start fasting day. By the time we get used to fasting, it's eat. You know? And you're like, okay, now I have a habit of fasting now. Good, this is that is eat. You know, 20 days passed away and you're like, what happened? You know, it's eat. Okay, but you know, now you say, Alhamdulillah, I'm used to this now. I'm used to fasting now. Good, Alhamdulillah. Now I want to keep on fasting. Eid comes, Allah says, no, you can't. Oh. Allah says, no, you can't. On Eid, He says, eat. You can't fast on Eid. I said, Allah, you know, 1 month this happened, you know, it's very hard to have, you know, you're breaking it in one day. You know how hard it's going to get on a diet? You know, get a habit of a diet, you know, and now when you have the habit, you're being asked to break it. It says, eat on the day of Eid, eat. Allah, come on, it's alright, you know. I don't need the food, I'm used to it right now. No, Allah saying, eat. When you leave for the prayer, it's mustahab that you eat something before you go. Eat a little something before you go. Break your fast. Do not fast. Eat something. Allah, why? Let me be hungry. I'm used to it now. So what's the wisdom behind this? I mean, yesterday it was wajib for me to fast. Today on the day of Eid is haram for me to fast. So what's the wisdom in this? What? Why do you want us to do this? Allah is saying, listen, whether a boy, well, there was nothing wajib yesterday and everything is wajib on him today, or whether it's Ramadan and Eid where everything, where fasting was wajib yesterday and it's haram today, all I want to see in this is, are you a slave of your thinking and habit, or are you a slave of Allah? This is all I want you to see. If you are saying that no, my aqal is different, this and that, then you will be a slave of your thinking, you are not a slave of Allah. If you are saying no, I have a habit of fasting, I don't want to break it. No, Allah is saying break it. Why? Because you were never fasting for your habit. You were never going to break it for your habit. You were fasting for Allah, and you should be fasting, not fasting for Allah also. You see, it is Allah's obedience that is required of us, not our habit. Oh, we made a habit of it, it's a good habit, I keep it. No, I say no, I don't want you to be a slave of your habit. I want you to be a slave of me. But again, after your uncle has matured enough to understand that I am the true master. After you understand I am the master, once you understand that through your uncle, then you shouldn't have a doubt in me. And friends, this is what we need to understand. Because many times what happens is that yes, we believe in Allah. Everyone says La ilaha illallah. We are Muslims. But what does that mean? You know what that means? What does that mean to be a Muslim? You know, these are the last 3 days and I want to conclude in these last 3 days the subject. Wrap it up, inshallah, and give all the information so that we understand. What does it mean to be a Muslim? You know, Allah gave the example of shaitan for us. You know, shaitan, he knew who Allah is. I mean, he was very well aware who Allah is. He said to Allah, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنَّا. He says, you created me. Shaitan knows that it's Allah who created him. It's Allah who made him. Shaitan knows that. But what made him shaitan? But what made him shaitan? If he believed in Allah, if he believed that Allah is Khaliq, then what made him shaitan? You see, what made him shaitan? You see, when Allah said, make sajda, he said he did. And you know what? In shaitan's mind, he is right. And everyone else is wrong. Read. Shaitan is thinking he is right, everyone else is wrong. Why? And really, when you look at it, you know, in one weird angle, it's true also. Right? Like from one weird angle that a lot of our, you know, some Muslim brothers look at it, you know, it's really, it's true also. Right? You say that, you know, yes, shaitan is right. All the angels are wrong. Why? Because shaitan is the only one now. No angel. Jibreel, neither Mikael, neither Israfil, none of the angels can ever claim now that they never bow down before anyone but Allah. Shaitan is the only one who can claim that the only one I made such that was Allah and no one else. In other words, shaitan is the only muwahhid and everyone else is a mushrik in his eyes. Right? Everyone is a mushrik. Hey, we all worship Allah, we also bow down before other gods. Right? But shaitan is thinking, listen to me, look at me. I never bow down before anyone but Allah. Can anyone match that? Meaning that all of you are mushrik. You bidat mongers, you know? I'm the only one who believes in Tawheed. This is what shaitan is saying. And Allah is saying, no, you are a kafir. Allah is saying, you are a kafir. Allah, what? I believe in you. I make sajda to you. I've always been making sajda to you. So why are you against me? You see, why did I become shaitan? You should punish them. Because they bow down before Adam. So Allah is saying, listen. Obedience doesn't mean that you recognize me. That you accept me. That you bow down before me. Obedience, the true meaning of obedience, the true meaning of Islam is not to bow down before Allah, but to bow down before the command of Allah. That is obedience. That is Islam. Islam is not to bow down before Allah, but to bow down before the command of Allah. When Allah sends a command, bow down to it, obey it. That makes you a Muslim. If you say, no, I obey Allah, but not His command, then you are not a Muslim. Allah calls you a kafir. But understand this. This is the reason when Allah says, Atiyu Allah, wa Atiyu Rasul, wa ulil amri minkum. Obey Allah, obey the messenger and those in charge of you. When He said that, what that means is that we are not obeying Allah for His being. That is not obedience. If you obey my command, you become an angel. If you disobey my command, even though you recognize me as God, you are a kafir. You are a kafir, even though you recognize me. Yes, he is God, we recognize him. Who cares if you recognize him? Shaitan also recognized him more than you did. But he became shaitan. Why? Because he disobeyed Allah. You have to obey the command of Allah if you want to be an angel. If you want to be better. If you do not obey the command of Allah, then you end up like a kafir. As Allah says in the Quran. So now, my friends, understanding from here. And I want to make it clear to everyone. You see, if we believe in the Prophet, it's not because of the Prophet. Really, if Rasulullah came to you and said, if he came to us and said, listen, I'm tall, I'm handsome, I'm knowledgeable, I'm smart, and I love my hair, so oh, you all believe in me. Would we believe in him? So? Okay. And? Go on. Next? Audition. You know, would we believe in? You know, send the next person in line. We did not believe in the Prophet because he's tall or handsome or has long hair or has a big beard or white beard or no teeth. That is not the reason we believed in him. And the Prophet never claimed that also. He never said, hey, look at my knowledge, how good I am. Did he ever say that? Did he ever claim that, listen, I'm PhD. Who cares? Right? Why did he believe in the Prophet? Understand this. It's not because of the Prophet. If he had said, my name is Muhammad, believe in me, you know, we would say, okay. So, you know, hello, nice to meet you, my name is Muhammad also. That's not what he believed. Why did he believe in the Prophet? Imagine, what did the Prophet say? He says, Ana Rasulullah, I am a messenger of Allah. You see, the Prophet's importance is because of Allah. He claimed not that he is knowledgeable, but what he claimed is that I came from Allah. Allah is the one who sent me. So when we looked at the fact that yes, he's claiming to be a messenger of Allah, he's not claiming to be an independent entity, then we said, yes, we want to believe in the messenger of Allah. We want to believe in Allah's messenger. So Rasulullah's importance is because of Allah. It is Allah who sent him. If Allah didn't send him, then what? For what? Who is he? It won't matter. It is Allah who sent him. That's why his importance is there. So now if we don't believe in him, it means, but understand this. If we say, okay, even though he is the messenger of Allah, that Allah's hukum is behind him, that Allah's command is behind him, even though we know all that, but we still don't believe in him, we believe in only in Allah. What does that mean? It's like shaitan saying to Allah, Allah, I believe in you, but I will not bow down before Adam. I will not bow down before Adam. Meaning accepting Rasulullah is accepting Allah. Believing in Rasulullah is believing in Allah. If you don't believe in Rasulullah, then you don't believe in Allah also. Allah will call you a kafir. Understand this. Rasulullah said, I am the messenger of Allah. Remember that. His importance is because of Allah, not because of himself. That's one thing. Now, my friend, understand this. After Rasulullah, if Imam Ali came and said, listen, I am strong, I am brave, and I broke the door of Khaybar, so accept me as the Imam. What would he say? Who would believe in him? Who would say, yes, you know, you're strong and you're brave, and if I don't believe in you, you're gonna beat me up. Okay, good, I believe in you. Who's gonna believe in him? Who will accept him? If I understand this, Imam Ali never claimed that I am an independent entity. I have nothing to do with Allah, nothing to do with the Rasul. Just accept me. Did he ever claim that? Did he ever say that? You see, what did Imam Ali say? He said that I am the successor of Rasulullah. It is Rasulullah who appointed me. So now because Now his value and his worth is that of Rasulullah. And Rasulullah's value and worth is that of Allah himself. Why? Because now obeying Ali means to obey Rasulullah, and obeying Rasulullah means to obey Allah. See, understand this. How the line is coming. Imam Ali, his importance is because he is from Allah. It's Allah's hukum that is behind him. See, Shaitan looked at, my friend, understand this. Shaitan looked at Allah. He said, "You are real God. Who is this Adam? I will not accept Adam." Adam was small. Really, he was small. He was made of dirt. He was made of dust. Really, he is nothing. He is nobody. So why should I accept him? Now let me tell you why, my friends. Really. I'll give an example so you understand. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
You know? Yeah, you know, I mean, we live in America and you live in St. Louis. Let's see how well you know St. Louis. What is the tallest building in St. Louis?
Arch.
Arch is the tallest building? Okay, whatever, the arch. I understand.
That's the best you can do.
That's the best you can do, alright. Arch is the tallest building, great, very good. Okay, the arch is the tallest building here, right? Really, it is big and this and that. Now, I come from Chicago, we have a lot of tall buildings there, right? Got the Sears Tower, which is not the tower. You know, Sears, you know, pulled out of there, you know. And other John Hancock and all these buildings. You know, you got tall buildings here, right? And these buildings are magnificent structures. Really, they're magnificent structures. I mean, really well designed, well engineered, amazing to look at, to gaze at. You go on top of that, you feel like you're on the top of the world. Wow, everyone looks like, you know, ants down there. You know, really, it's amazing to go there and see that, you know? Now, after seeing these buildings, you know, after seeing these buildings, you know, now you go, for example, to Hajj. And you go to the Kaaba, you know? And you're expecting something like the Sears Tower, you know? And what you get is this primitive structure made up of stones. It's primitive, it's made up of stone, that's it, you know? It's a square, a rectangle, square, made up of stone, that's it. You know, it's nothing. Looking at that, what's this? I thought it would be like something, you know, magnificent, you know, amazing. And here it is, the Kaaba. I mean, really, you know, looking at the structure, it's not an impressive building. You know, really, it's not impressive. The history is there, the awe of the history and the heritage of that. But the structure itself is not impressive. It's a very basic structure. Basic engineering, anyone who knows engineering knows that, hey, you know, this is, you know, anyone, you know, living in the third world can do this, you know, can do a better job than this now. And this is an old one, right? So now, looking at the structure, you're going to be like, wow, man, you know, I mean, this is junk, this and that. We have, like, big buildings, you know, in America, and huge buildings, too, and really impressive buildings, too, you know. Maybe, if we can make one of them our Qibla, maybe if you can make one of them our Qibla, maybe we might have more Muslims, you know? Because it'll be more impressive. Right? It'll be more impressive because really, like, you know, I mean, looking at the Kaaba, many people are like, it's not impressive. You know? Would you go right, I mean, if we go around the arch, you know, seven times, you know, I'm sure you'll get more people there, you know, like, wow, nice place, you know? Grass, you know, you don't even see grass there. You know, and all kinds of nice stuff here, right? So now what happens? Should we change it? Would anyone Muslim would accept it? Should we change the Qibla, the direction of the Qibla from the Kaaba to one of the buildings over here? Can we do that? No one will agree with it. Everyone said, no, we can't do it. Why? It's small. It has nothing to do with it. I mean, really, we can make something better than this. We are in the 21st century. Come on, wake up, Muslims. What's wrong with you all? Wake up. Let's make a bigger building, more impressive. Make our religion, you know, a little bit, you know, look better. You're still stuck with this primitive building out here. What's wrong with you all? Muslims will say, are you crazy? He's out of the deen, heretic, you know. You know, they'll they'll call you with bidat, shirk, and kufr. You know, you kill him three times, three different ways. They'll give all kinds of fatwas against you. You know, if you say something like that, right? Now what happens? No one would agree with it. Why not? Why aren't you agreeing with it? You see, the issue is this. The size of the building is not important. The value of the structure is not important. The reason we are making sajda is not because of the size of the structure, or the brilliance of the engineering, or the worth of the material used in it, or any of these things. The reason the Kaaba cannot be replaced is because it is Kaaba that has the hukum of Allah behind it. The only reason is because Allah said make sajda, that's why we are doing it. Not because it's big or tall or all these things. It's only because Allah's hukum is there. Even though the Kaaba is small, these buildings are big. It doesn't matter. We have to see whose hukum. If Allah's command is behind it, then it doesn't matter how small the place is or how big the person is. Just like that, Shaitan made that mistake. He said, Allah, you are big, but Adam is small. But Allah is saying, no, it is my command that is behind the sajda. It is my command that is behind the sajda. So yes, Rasulullah is not as big as Allah. But because Allah's command is behind him, that's why we go to Rasulullah. Imam Ali is not as big as Allah, but because Allah's command is behind him, that's why we go before Ali. Now Ali said Hassan, so we went before Hassan. Hassan said Hussein, we went before Hassan. When we came to Imam al-Zaman, now Imam al-Zaman said, after me go to the fuqaha and the ulama. Go to the ulama after me. After in my heaven, go to the ulama. Hussein of Mahdi. So now do not it is the command of the infallible that is behind him that's most important. This is why we don't see the size of who this person is or the fact he is infallible or not infallible. It doesn't matter. If the Imam said so, that's all we are looking for. That is what we are looking for. This is why you see obedience to Allah doesn't mean accepting Allah and saying, oh yes, we believe in Allah. But when Allah says, do this, oh, what do you mean, no? You know, then Allah said, all right, if you say that, you're welcome to say it. La ikraha fi deen. But remember, I'm giving this picture of shaitan. And then if you do that, then you become like shaitan. Right? You are shaitan. Why? Because shaitan did the same thing. And Allah is giving that example. No. Believing in the Zaat of Allah is not important. We have to believe in the hukum and the command of Allah. That is what's more important. Wherever the command of Allah is, you bow before that. You obey that. Why? Because you understood this Allah's. All you have to find out if this is Allah's hukum, then you obey that. Because you recognize that this is Allah who's giving the hukum. Once you know this is Allah who's giving the hukum, that's all you need to know. Allah said, Rasulullah, we went to Rasulullah. Then Rasulullah said, Imam Ali, we went to Imam Ali. All the Imams, we came down. Imam said, go to the ulama. After that, we went to the ulama. We didn't go there because no mujtahid ever said that, hey, you know what, I wrote this many books, I have this long a beard, and my beard is white, and I have no teeth, so follow me. No mujtahid ever said that. Did any mujtahid say, no, you have to follow me because I'm the alim? Oh, we don't follow him because of him, we follow him because the Imam said so. Imam Masoom said so, that's why we are following him. You know, we didn't follow him because of him. You know, if he had said that, we would follow him. He was not important. The hukum behind him is important. The command that is behind him is important. That's what is important for us. We look for the command of Allah. If the command is to bow down before Adam, we will bow down before Adam. If it's to go follow Rasulullah and do ita'at of Rasulullah, we'll do that. Ita'at of Ayman, we'll do that. If it's the taqleed of ulama, we'll do that. Why? Because the hukum of Allah is behind it. Our job is to see where the hukum of Allah is and follow that. So inshallah, tomorrow we will try to conclude in the next 2 days, because tomorrow and Wednesday inshallah we will have the last two speeches, and inshallah Thursday night might be the last night, so I'll just give instructions about Eid, and we will end there. And these 2 days are going to be important, because I would like to conclude, wrap up the whole idea. There are many other weapons that Shaitan used, we won't be able to go into that, but we'll just go now, right now, inshallah, to the conclusion and see how Shaitan misguides us today in the 21st century. Right? How Allah has explained that in the Quran, so that we understand it today, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Bless him to understand his guidance, haste to the great prudence of Imam, because the doctor when he comes, wa'afu da'bana, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.